Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, April 21st, 2015 edition of the Sands and the Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from San Francisco, California. Just as a reminder, I will be speaking with Ed Skotis and Mike Asante at 2:20 p.m. in room 3014 at the RSA conference. We will be talking about current threats and, well, what's coming next, essentially, what we expect to be a big deal over the next year or so. Hope to see some of you at that event. And as usual, I'll have, of course, some Internet Storm Center stickers with me if you are interested. Just a quick update on MS-1534. We had a couple of pointers to various bulletin board posts and such advertising a remote code execution exploit for sale for this vulnerability. At this point, we have no evidence to suggest that this particular exploit is genuine, so not really sure what to make of it. Personally, I kind of doubt that this is a genuine and reliably working remote code execution exploit. It's going, or it's at least asking for quite a bit of money. I think it's something like 500 or so bitcoins, which comes down to more than $100,000. And Google announced that it will now offer its famous Google Ads over HTTPS. Now, this move comes less to protect the ads themselves. Of course, they're public, and the more people are looking at them, the better for Google. But the problem is, if you are including HTTP content within an HTTPS page, you actually make the HTTPS page more vulnerable by, for example, allowing an attacker to inject code as part of the HTTP traffic that could then affect the HTTPS content on the site. Of course, this comes also just as Google has announced that Google Chrome will become more picky when it comes to this kind of mixed content. And we got an interesting new way to exploit the fact that many modern CPUs do cache instructions. Now, the way this new exploit works is that it's actually, first of all written in JavaScript. And the point of the exploit is that instructions will perform faster if they are cached in the CPU. Essentially, what the JavaScript does is it first fills the CPU cache with a particular instruction set, then it lets the user do something like press a key or whatever, and then it tries to rerun these instructions, and with that it attempts to figure out what changed in the CPU cache by using high-resolution timers that are available in JavaScript. Pretty interesting, and it's sort of one of those basic vulnerabilities in the architecture of modern CPUs that this cache is shared among different processes. According to their paper, it works quite well. Of course, we'll have to see whether or not this will work in a real-life scenario where quite a number of processes are usually sort of competing for this CPU cache. And just in time for RSA, FireEye did release a write-up about a recent attack that apparently was conducted by a Russian APT group. The interesting part here is that the attack used two different Sergey exploits. The first one is a remote code execution vulnerability in Flash that was fixed in the last patch. The other one is a privilege escalation vulnerability in Windows that so far has not been addressed by Microsoft. Windows 8 and later is not affected by this particular privilege escalation vulnerability. And if you own some high-end Bang & Olufsen speakers, you may be vulnerable to a DNS rebinding attack that could potentially leak your Wi-Fi password. Now, I don't think this is so terribly interesting in terms of, you know, these speakers are not used very common, but I think the exploit shows really neatly how DNS rebinding can be used to launch this kind of attack. First of all, the problem here on the Bang & Olufsen side here, of course, is that they do not check the host header. They also pre-fill the password in the form that is being downloaded by the browser. So that combination can then be used to leak the password. The exploit itself is actually written quite nicely. It's in JavaScript, of course, but then it also uses the RTC library in order to leak internal IP addresses to launch the DNS rebinding attack correctly. In our Defending Web Apps class, we always have DNS rebinding also as an exercise there to show a little bit how simple it is to actually launch this attack, even though when you first hear about the attack and the need to sort of synchronize DNS changes with the victim visiting a particular website. But then again, this exploit also shows that these attacks are quite feasible. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.